Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a game day podcast from TalkSport, the record book.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this latest edition of the Game Day Record Book podcast. I'm Danny Kelly. Regular downloaders and listeners will know the basic format is that we're going to talk about who's done well, who's done badly in the Premier League. But of course, and in theory, it's all going to add up to one massive sort of conglomeration of what's happened in the football season to be presented to one lucky person in the form of a written book. It's never going to happen like that. And of course, it's not helped by the fact that just like this introduction, the show goes off on its own strange little places. So hero, villain, performance of the week, worst performance of the week, and a lot of stuff in between. I'm Danny Kelly. Alongside me in the studio today, I'm delighted to say, returning, not despite, but because of public delight, Mark Smith, comedian and broadcaster, and Mark, yeah, as I understand it, the man who forced Greta Thunberg to change her name to Sharon or something in the last few days.
Wasn't forced. And I didn't bring this up, by the way. No. Our producer brought this up.
You're too modest, aren't you?
Far too modest to bring up the fact that it went viral and I'm an online sensation and should be respected at last.
1.2 million retweets of his original tweet. Just
that's
fantastic.
That's not true.
And she, with a great sense of humour, Greta, previously well hidden, let's be fair to say, mm-hmm, has actually changed her Twitter handle accordingly. No such achievements this week for our other guest, though he has rather more kudos on the football pitch itself than myself and Mark. David Connolly, I won't go through all his previous clubs because I don't want to be hoarse by the end of it. Let's just say Republic of Ireland striker. Pick one club that you enjoy playing for.
Southampton.
Did you hate all the others?
Yeah, there you go. I did actually buy my daughter Greta's book and she threw it away in disgust. Yes, I don't know. But I don't know if the kids really like her
that
much.
Did she recycle it? Or did mine she... doesn't...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's a generational thing. At Christmas, I had my sort of teenage nieces were in the house, and some part of the house, I think it might have been a stove. They said, you realise in 20 years' time that'll be frowned upon. I said, you realise in 20 years' time I won't care. There we are, the truth.
Oh, the hard
faces,
truth.
Their little faces. Their favourite uncle, maybe not making it 20 years' time. We'll see.
Denied twice by the woodwork in the first half. He's not denied with 10 minutes to go.
Here come United. Matter's ball over the top. Juan Mata finds Marcus Rashford. And Marcus Rashford's 200th Man United appearance culminates in yet another goal for the red-hot England youngster.
Who's your Hero of the Week nominee? David, I'll let you start because it's been a while since we had you on the show.
Yes, well, there's quite a few I think there could be this week, but surely there's only one for me, and that's got to be... I just mentioned the club, yeah. Southampton. It's got to be Ralph Hasenhüttl. I mean, what a transformation. His team press and strangle opponents a bit like his tracksuit bottoms because they are the tightest I've ever seen.
Since Max Wall, I'm saying. Yep. Yeah, that's one for the teenagers, by the way.
Yeah, who's Max Wall?
Max Wall preceded you on the boards as Britain's greatest stand-up comedian.
Max Wall?
Yep, indeed. Look him up. Absolute genius. But part of his shtick was that he wore extraordinarily black and tight tights on stage. He looked like a kind of comedic version of Richard III. This is all going over your head, isn't it? Absolutely going over your head.
I've heard of Richard III.
Look up Max Wall now. He's absolutely brilliant. So, yes, he's got the Max Wall trousers.
Yes, and I think he's got all the answers as well. I mean, like, it was redemption the other day against Leicester. Obviously, they got pumped by 9, and I think everyone at that point felt that maybe that would be him done.
But don't you think he should have got the sack after it? 9-goal beaten at home, I think somebody has to go. We've heard how when Spurs beat Wigan by 9, that was away, don't forget, they sacked Eric Edmond on the spot.
Yeah.
I think 9 goals, somebody's got to quote the notorious B.I.G., somebody's got to die, haven't they?
I'm enjoying that quote. That's more for the kids, I think, yeah. Although maybe not anymore.
Still 20 years ago, yeah.
Well, actually, this has proven why you shouldn't be so trigger happy, hasn't it? Okay, they lost 9-0 at home. It was completely humiliating for everybody.
Or are Watford proving why you should be so trigger happy?
Well, no, Southampton are proving why you shouldn't, because, as we say, he's gone back to Leicester there and he's got 3 points. All right, Leicester scored 9 against them, but they only took 3 points off them this season. Oh. They got the same amount of points
course,
off each other.
It's brilliant what they're doing. And how much of that is Hasenhüttl and how much of it is Danny Ings?
Well, I think there's... For me, Danny Ings, don't get me wrong, has been sensational, but I think the manager's got to carry a lot of the credit for this. Because obviously, look, when things aren't going well, he's the one that carries a can. But
yeah,
certainly in that international break is a really big period for them in November, because, you know, I think he went back to basics, went back to how he tried to do things previously that made him such a success at Red Bull. They got a really good result at the Emirates. And, you know, from there, they had a, you know, dicky result against Everton. But they've really... Their away performances, some of them have been sensational. The one against Chelsea was superb. He rested Danny Ings. You talk about Danny Ings, he actually made the really good managerial decision to rest Danny Ings, when actually a lot of managers were going, you know what, we need the points. We need the points, we're going to play.
But they kept him fresh and made sure he could.
Kept him fresh, and you look at Harry Kane pulling his hamstring, you think, well, you know what?
He plays
really
every
good
minute
management.
Every game of a 62-game season for Spurs. Yep. One little thing about what went on at the King Power, as I still have to call it, is that the before the game on the big screen, they showed the 9 goals.
Yes.
If I was a Southampton player, I'd be going, I'll show you. Bloody hell.
Well,
that was a bit odd, I thought. And not very, in the modern parlance, classy.
Absolutely agree. I mean, you were a player, David. How would that affect your performance if you had a team actively taking the mick like that?
I mean, in our day, say, it might be something that was written in the press, you know, that you would then, the manager would sometimes put up
on the wall.
Brilliant. And yeah,
that really happened.
That did happen. So, look, I'm sure the players, to be honest, their game plan was superb. I don't think it would have really affected things or changed things. I just think he's done a terrific job. The turnaround's been great. Now, you mentioned, should he have been sacked? I think probably if they had football people at the top at that moment in time, he might have done. But the director of football
They're in transit,
gone.
Aren't they?
Yeah, Ross Wilson are gone, Les Reed are gone. So I don't think there's anyone there to really make a decision. And you know what, I think he's got an awful lot of power there at this moment in time. And you know, he's turned it around.
Good for him. Brilliant. Who's your hero of the week?
Actually, I want to talk about Danny Ings in another couple of seconds, purely because when he scored the winning goal, and by the way, he hit the crossbar twice, looked like he's a top player, and he'd be on the plane for me to the Euros. When he took his top off, he revealed actually, he's not this chiselled athlete you thought he was. In fact, still a great athlete.
Yeah.
Got a bit of a dad bod.
Yeah.
Big fan of that. Really big fan of that.
Quite noticeable, and I've got to be very careful with people in greenhouses and all that. He's got quite a gut for a modern footballer, hasn't he?
You know what? I'm a Derby County supporter. We've got about 6 of them in our first team at the minute. There's nothing wrong with the heftier player. Well, I was just surprised, that was all.
How's Tom Huddleston these days in terms of
heft? Think about it. We've got Tommy Huddleston, we've got Wayne Rooney now, the godfather of those guys.
Yeah.
We've got Jack Marriott, Chris Martin. We've got a fair few there. And it doesn't make them bad players. Let me get that absolutely straight.
Well, we've spoken about this before in terms of if you're a certain body type when you're at a football club, whether they try and change that and, you know, affect your performance. It looks like Danny, I don't think he spends that much time in the gym, you know. However, he probably spends a bit more time out on the training ground practicing his finishing.
And it shows,
know.
Right? Yeah. That's all you want. Anyway,
and a different body type you want to talk about next is your hero of the week.
Yeah, I mean, from Danny Ings to probably who is the most cut man in the division, Marcus Rashford. Just a beautiful specimen. I mean, I'm not here to talk about his body, necessarily.
Although that seems to be the road you've decided to go down.
And you know what? I'll stick to it if you want me to.
Yeah, fine. Marcus Rashford, I mean, I don't want to take the words out of your mouth.
Mm.
He is suddenly everything I imagined Marcus Rashford was going to be 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because he was sort of thrown into the team when he was 18 against Arsenal, and it all just seemed to sort of happen to him. And now he's become this unbelievable athlete. He's probably their number one player. Let's assume Pogba isn't going to be coming back.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. He was the quickest He's the third quickest player in United history behind Giggs and George Best to get to 200 appearances. This season, he has scored more than Tammy Abraham, Kylian Mbappe, Sancho. These are all players under 23. He's the top scorer of all of those guys. I mean, Mbappe is regarded as the third best player after the regular two, Messi and Ronaldo. This is a big deal. He is someone who seems to have matured a lot in the last probably year and a half. He signed this new contract. He's there for the long term now. And he's someone that United can legitimately base their entire club around. And not just for United, but for England as well.
I totally love him. I just don't want, David, the Euros to come round. Harry Kane is still in traction somewhere in a hospital. Let's hope that's not the case. And they stick him up front or in the middle of the attack. That's not his game, is it?
No, it's not. And I mean, you know, how much has Martial coming back helped him? You know, he hasn't then had to play through the middle. Martial's taken that on. He's then moved out
wide. He
doesn't
really want to do it either, but he's better at the than...
Absolutely. Yeah. And look, he doesn't want his back to go. He wants to be side on or facing forward. Look, his ball striking technique is as good as Ronaldo.
Similar style, isn't it?
It's a similar style. You can tell, obviously, he's taken a lot from him. I agree, he's an absolute legend. I think he's brilliant. What a centre forward.
But also, I mean, not just physically, he's just... He is a step ahead of most people on the pitch. He sees passes that not everyone sees. He's just a very impressive guy. And he's, what is he, 21, 22 still?
And you could argue that getting all that money they got for Romelu Lukaku, while it initially blocked up their goal scoring, he's physically got out of the way now for the space that Marcus can run into.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic player. My heroes of the week are two old men. One of them is RIP Barry Greaves, a Norwich City fan, who had so much fun watching the Canaries over the years. He died recently, bless him, at 83 years of age. In his will, he left £100 for the players to have a round of drinks on his behalf. And there's a lovely picture on the Norwich Twitter feed. And, of course, we're not in favour of club Twitter feeds. They're mostly full of nonsense. There's a rather lovely picture of the Norwich players, I think slightly confused, getting a free drink, but they're having their drink. So hats off, really hats off to Barry Greaves. He was, I say, 83, just a couple of years behind him. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, newly re-signed by one of his former clubs. He loves doing that, doesn't he? AC Milan, of course. He scored. Of course he scored. He's Zlatan. He has now scored, because of the quirks of his date of birth, in four separate decades at top-level football. And even for a man of your longevity and goal-scoring exploits, David, that he's beyond talking about almost, isn't he? People, you say, you know, oh, he's a legend, or he does things wrong, and the rest of it. He floats above the English language, doesn't he? He's Zlatan.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I'd say is when he was joining, I'm sure there's a lot of people, probably me included, were thinking, well, is he really going to be able to do it at Milan again at this stage of his career after playing in America? And straight away, I think they got their first victory in about 3 or 4 weeks, Milan. He played the whole 90. He didn't just come on a sub and nick a goal, played the whole 90. And straight away after the game, the manager's saying, well, you know, we've got to change now. Everything's now got to revolve around going through Zlatan. And look, he might not be that popular in Malmo. I think his statue has certainly seen better days. Right. But
he invested in a rival team.
Hammerby.
Their local rivals, yes.
And also, you've got to remember, they're kind of shoehorning a 24-year-old who was sensational for them last season, Piontek, for Zlatan, who's 14 years older than him, or 11 or something
But we have neither the time, nor is this the right forum, really, to explain why he does this. But I think it is worth saying, I have never seen many, many decades of Barry Greaves-style decades of watching footballs. I've never seen a player who creates his own space because of his physicality. He's so big to start with, and then he's so mobile in that circle only. Imagine if he was a shot putter. There's an exclusion zone around him. He has space to do the things he does because you can't. He's too strong, he's too big, and he's too physical because of the kung fu and all the rest of it. He knows where to put his body. He has the time to do the things he does because nobody can physically. You'd almost want to mark him. Someone's 5'2", get underneath his arms.
He's more like a NBA power forward.
Yeah,
in the way that he uses the space around him and his physicality, he's unbelievable. And a good point on this is that at 38, he's still, this weekend, clocked up the third highest speed, the third highest running speed in the division. He clocked up, 32.45 kilometres an hour at 38.
Yeah, he won't have a dad bod. That's for sure. Definitely
no, no,
not.
No. Well, I mean, fantastic choice of heroes this weekend, everybody. Ralph Hasenhüttl, love saying his name. Who doesn't? Marcus Rashford, fantastic footballer. Zlatan, of course, but he has all the awards and he would turn it down because he is not that sort of guy. Oh, Barry Greaves for the £100 in his will for the Norwich City players. Are you sticking with Ralph?
It's got to be Ralph, yeah. Wreck it, Ralph. He has wrecked it of late.
I'm also going to go, I'm going to change my mind on Rashford, and I'm going to go with Hasenhüttl. And not just because the name is fun to say.
Well, I mean, obviously, this is a democracy, this programme, so we will have to say that your two votes for Ralph Hasenhüttl makes him the hero of the week. And if you're happy with leaving an old man's dreams in tatters, I'd have stuck with Barry Greaves, but you two are indicative of the carelessness and heartlessness of the modern world.
Firmino, lovely little swivel past Tanganga and smashes it home into the net. And Tottenham for a moment switched off. Firmino took advantage, set up by Salah. He wriggled away from Tanganga, who's had an impressive start to the game so far. But Liverpool finally found a way through.
Bournemouth 0, Watford 1. The Nigel Pearson revival continues for the Hornets, but it's an absolute horror show for Mark Travers, the Bournemouth goalkeeper.
Right then, villain of the week. Mark, you, we can almost say at some stage of every programme, a referee or VAR or both will get it in the neck. You want to choose one of our highly paid officials.
Yes, please.
For your villain of the week. Who's that?
It's Michael Oliver. He's just got too much of a dad bod. Well, that's it. It's not really. It's Michael Oliver. And not many people picked up on this over the weekend, but there was an incident, a very minor incident to some, in the Everton-Brighton game on Saturday, where Theo Walcott was put clean through. He gets pulled back, not by the shirt, but by the shoulder. Proper pull on the shoulder. Walcott does his best to stay on his feet, and he goes ahead, and he doesn't score the goal, and he doesn't get the penalty. And it infuriated me, Danny, because it shows again, as if we needed reminding, this is why players go down. Players get stick for this all the time. Diving, falling to the ground too easily. They don't get awarded the penalty unless they hit the deck. Walcott was trying to do the best thing there, and he's been penalised for being too honest. And it really, really annoyed me. And I think this decision was a microcosm of what we see in football all the time, and it's indicative of this rule that they won't give you anything unless you hit the deck, which means that players will dive. And you're not going to wipe out diving unless you get rid of that rule.
But you can't go down if you've been pulled by the shoulder. That's not the sort of, unless you're doing 100 miles an hour and it's a completely obvious pull, you're not, it's not natural to fall to the ground.
How many times do we see it happen, though? Player get pulled on the shoulder. And also, Danny, it wasn't just a little pull. It was a proper, it's a real forceful shove. And if he goes down, it's 100% a penalty all day long.
Why didn't VAR give it then?
I've no idea, but I mean, you're going to start being the VAR is the one to look out for, that they're truthful and honest.
Well, they got the Aubameyang thing right this weekend.
Yeah, they did, but you know, a stop clock is right twice a day.
David, ever been pulled by the shoulder and hurled yourself to the ground?
Oh, many times, yeah. rarely got the benefit from the referee, I've got to say.
Oh, so, why is that?
Well, I don't quite know, but
some people are very. Let's not call it diving. Some people are very successful at getting the penalties they want. Wilfred Zaha is one of my favourite players, but man, does he get a penalty when he wants one. You're saying the referees weren't buying your stuff, David?
No, they weren't. And I looked at the weekend. I was at Griffin Park actually, and I looked at Watkins up top, and he didn't get anything. The referee gave him, he was getting clattered from behind, from above, he was getting blocked off, and the referees, I don't think, my issue is referees, I'm not sure they really know the game. They don't know the nuances. I think they can get conned and tricked, and try as they might, they've invariably, to me, get it wrong a little bit too often.
Yeah, but what happens next time?
Do you think if you were refereeing, I'm not suggesting you should, but do you think if you were refereeing, you'd do better in those situations?
I think that is what they should be looking at, is former players, if they're brave enough to go and become a referee, because there's no doubt, look, a lot of times you're as a player, you're thinking, why have you not seen that? How do you not know he's blocked me off on purpose? Have you not seen that, Paul, or, you know, whatever it may be? There's so much of it.
Stick you in the VAR truck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not? I mean,
well, that makes a lot of sense. But I say, because there was none of the offsides with dotted lines this weekend, where the rule is behind the technology.
Yeah.
There was a handball one where I actually happen to agree with the rule, but I know West Ham fans hate it. So the Aubameyang one, and this is nothing to do with Aubameyang. I don't think he's a dirty player. I think he's a classic forward tackler. He does that more games than not. He catches somebody like that. But, you know, it was interesting to me in that case, and we're talking about what you have to do, that the Crystal Palace, what would you call it, the whole bench, the whole technical staff didn't get on their high horse. 2 years ago, they'd all been out on the pitch. Now they just wait because they know that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
The VAR is going to get this and they're going to catch
it. But what happens next time with Walcott when he goes through, gets pulled, he's going to hit the deck and he'll be criticised for diving. That's my problem with all this, is that you're erasing honesty from players. He's penalised for staying on his feet, and it just, Danny, something about it really flipped in my mind and it appalled me.
I want to get on to David's villain because I like it very much. But my own nomination for villain of the week, I mean, this is pretty simple. My own Spurs team got beaten this week by Liverpool. But the absolute astonishing typhoon of stuff that goes on about Liverpool all the time now, Liverpool. The idea that VAR is somehow not just favouring Liverpool, but driving their astonishing start to the season. It is ridiculous. It is risible. It is bollocks, let's be honest with it. It's incredible. The conspiracy theorists out there who minutely, and even when their own teams aren't involved, examine everything to do with Liverpool's refereeing and have come up with this. Now, Liverpool have had the thin end of some of these decisions. Well done to them. But that's because they're always on the attack.
Yeah.
They're bound to be getting penalties.
You'll get more penalties if you're in the box all the time.
And the defenders will be handing the ball more because the ball's bouncing around their blinking penalty area, especially Jose Mourinho, if you decide to play on the edge of it, like a pinball. Look, let's be honest about this, and it doesn't take a genius to say it. And I don't care. Liverpool could collapse now and not get another point this season. They'll still be a great team.
Yeah.
You don't have to win this league to be a great team. They are a great team, and they are doing stuff, statistically, that we've never seen before. And we have seen prettier teams, Manchester City's team of last year and 3 years ago, prettier football teams. We've seen perhaps even teams as dynamic. I'm thinking about, well, I'm going back a bit here, the Kanchelskis version of Manchester United, which was unbelievably dynamic. We've seen great teams. Chelsea's team that hardly conceded a goal, Leicester's team, all the rest of it. But this is a great team, and people, there's a million reasons why they are doing this, but it isn't the VAR. Give yourselves a rest in the brain, everybody. David, you've got a villain of the week?
I do have a villain of the week, and but finding out who is the villain, we'll get to that, because it's goalkeepers, sub-goalkeepers or goalkeepers who get their chance who haven't really had that much game time. So, particularly those clubs down the bottom. I'm hinting
at... This is very specific.
It is. I'm hinting at West Ham, and I'm hinting at Bournemouth.
Right.
So, West Ham, in a really big game against Sheffield United, unfortunately, Fabianski gets injured, right? Disaster. David Martin comes in goal. Now, I don't know what David Moyes would have said to David Martin, but to me, it would have been, this is a big game for us, you know, you're coming into the fold. If in any doubt, let's just kick it long and play in their half. You know, let's not take any chances. Okay, Bournemouth, they're playing Watford. Under pressure, Watford doing great, playing out. They've got a young Mark Travers in goal, hasn't been in the side. What would you say to him as a manager? If in doubt, if it's not, don't take any chances. Let's just play in their half. Instead, David Martin tries to play out against Chef U. They lose possession. Look, Balbuena might have been at fault. They go and get a chance. Get an opportunity, which was never really going to happen otherwise. They go and score. They lose the game. Bournemouth today, trying to play out. Ball goes back to Travers. He tries to pick out Nathan Ake. Watford, get onto it. Get a chance. Put it in the box. They score. 1-0. The game is then. They're really up against it. So my villain of the week is either it's with the instructions from the managers or it's the sub-goalies is not to play out. Just play percentages, particularly when you're struggling at the bottom.
There's absolutely no argument with what you're saying, but there are extenuating circumstances. You're right, absolutely right to pick out Matthew Valbuena. No, sorry, what's the bloke's name at the back of the Newcastle?
Valbuena,
yeah, quite. We all know, we've all played in defence on Hackney Marshes. We all know that when the ball comes to you facing your own goal, you still have the goal is about, if you take the whole pitch as a circle, the goal's about 4 degrees. You still have 354 degrees in which to clear the ball. He was like he'd had a recent hip operation at a second-class Bulgarian clinic. Why couldn't he just turn in any direction and kick that ball away?
He turned like the Titanic. I think that's what you're getting at.
It made David's kick out look much worse than it was.
Yep.
And secondly, as regards Bournemouth putting on a teenager to play in goal who didn't really... Meanwhile, I see pictures of top international goalkeeper Asmir Begovic signing for a club in Italy. Is he not on Bournemouth's books?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
What the hell's happened there?
Well, don't look at me. I've got no idea.
It says here, comedian and broadcaster and person who got Greta Thunberg to change her name. Surely you know about what's happened with Asmir Begovic.
He just lost his heart there.
What I don't get is, I mean, I was with my under 19 today, and you might try and say play out and all this. Let me tell you, when a kid gets the ball, they just want to boot it down the other end of the pitch, and I'm sure goalkeepers love whacking the leather off it.
It's great fun.
And they've actually been denied it. I think they should just kick it long and get rid of it.
Now, David, I know this section has a time limit, but tell us about the adventures of your under 19 team that you managed today.
Under 19 or under nines?
Under nines.
Under
nines.
Yeah, under nines. No.
Under 19.
Well, it could be in the performance
what
of the week. Lionhearts.
Right.
And they showed it today.
Go on.
Yeah. Well, is it? They might be in the performance of the week. I don't know.
They might drop
them in a little bit later.
All right. Let's put them in performance of the week. So our villain of the week, Michael Oliver. Because he didn't give a penalty for a tiny pull.
No, Danny.
Shoulder.
No, you're really devaluing what I said there.
Liverpool VAR conspiracists, people who think that they've got this 104-point lead at the top of the Premier League because somehow VAR is being wheedled to their advantage, or substitute goalkeepers not having the nous, or their managers not having the nous to tell them that there are other clearances are available, other than just passing it to bewildered defensive colleagues. Nathan Aké was playing out of position as well.
Absolutely. All those things. The whole back four was playing out of position.
I think it's the goalkeepers myself, the villain.
I don't.
Good man.
I think it's Michael Oliver. I'm going to stick by it because I think this is indicative of a much wider problem and the...
in society.
The argument that we have all the time about diving, it all boils down in large part to this. You shouldn't have to go down to win a free kick or a penalty.
David, it's up to you.
Well, I'm not a fan of referees, so I'm inclined to agree. However, it's got to be the sub goalies for me.
Thank you. There we are. Our villain of the week, our substitute goalkeepers. You've got enough on your plate, mate. Belt it long.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Ball into the area and Kevin Friend brings the 90 minutes plus to a close, and finally Chelsea have got the home hoodoo sorted for the time being at least. After three defeats in four here, they comfortably romp to a 3-0 win against Burnley.
It's on halfway for Mane, spinning and running into opposition territory. Edge of the area is Alexander-Arnold. Oh, he's thrashed it home. Absolutely lashed it across the floor into the corner. A pinpoint finish from a terrific young player.
Now, we've already had a preview that might contain an under-9s team, but it's time now for our performance of the week. Why don't I start this section? Just because I love a close league. In a book I wrote back in the mists of time when dinosaurs ruled the earth with Danny Baker, we mentioned a Romanian league, which ended up with all this is a third level of league. All teams were called Petrolul and Locomotive. It ended up with 3 points covering a whole load of teams at the end of the season. Hello and welcome League 2. Everybody between third and seventh now, seven teams, I think, in total, have got 44 points. That doesn't make them performance of the week, but it's worth noting. And I love that. And I love the fact that it's very hard, even for Salford, to buy their way out of the lower leagues. You have to play your way out. And that's why there's so many close games, David, and so many teams end up being so close together. But a special mention this week must go for performance of the week to Swindon, who beat Crewe to stay top of League One. Big deal, you might say. Well, the background story is a big deal. Swindon, perhaps their ascension, as I say, to the very top of that very closely fought league, is largely based on Owen Doyle, a striker who they got on loan from Bradford and who, in the early parts of this season, had been going a better clip than Tammy Abraham, than Sergio Aguero, indeed than Lionel Messi. 23 goals in 22 games. Unfortunately, somebody at Swindon forgot to put in no clawback clause into the contract, and he's now been taken back to Bradford, where he started and didn't score, but Swindon still managed to beat Crewe and are still top of that league. But it's worth mentioning Owen Doyle here just because of that goal rate.
Unbelievable.
Dave, how far down the leagues did you eventually end up playing? What's the lowest you ever got to with any club?
Oh, League Two. Yeah, I got down to League Two, and I mean, one of my performances of the week is two teams that aren't very close together, and that's Carlisle and Plymouth.
Right, of course. Down. I mean, when I say got down to it, that sounded pejorative. It definitely isn't. I know people can't do it now because of pride. They earn so much money in their top level. I loved it when players used to drift down the leagues. For a start, other people got to see them playing really good footballers. And secondly, what were the young kids learning from those boys who played at the top level?
Yeah.
It was a beautiful thing when it used to happen.
And also, everyone's different, but I think you only get to play once. Everyone you talk to says keep going as long as you can. And
absolutely right.
I think there's no shame in that, dropping down the leagues.
No, not at all.
Absolutely not.
No, it just doesn't happen. Of course, you're a Derby County supporter. I know you think they're the champions of Europe, but in fact, they are these days a bottom half championship team. But you've got one of the great footballers of the last 30 years coming to play for you.
Oh, I mean, it's unbelievable. I would argue this might be the biggest signing in championship history in terms of profile.
Has he played yet?
Danny, he's played and he's won.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been man of the match. He's not lost a game yet for us. Beat Palace away with him in centre midfield. And you know what about Wayne Rooney? He might not be that swashbuckling forward that we all remember. That guy went years ago. But what he is still is a real presence on the pitch and one of the best passers that I've ever seen live.
He really is a good passer, yeah.
Unbelievable. But all ranges you can imagine, short, long, everything.
Can he orchestrate a comeback for Derby this season?
I think it'd be a long shot because I think it's a very, very competitive division, as it always is. But why not? You know,
but that's in your favour.
Absolutely. The pressure's off a little bit.
West Bromwich Albion at the very top have not won in five.
Mm-hmm.
Leeds are Leeds.
Yeah.
So all things are possible.
It's absolutely possible. Plus, we've got this new investment said to be coming in the next week or so. So you never know. If we make a couple of loan signings, you never know. But I'm very pleased that Rooney's there.
There's a part of me I wants to ask, though. You've got an overweight Englishman who's really good at passing the ball in centre midfield. Haven't you already got one of those in Tom Huddleston?
We've got loads of them. We've got a whole team of them. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, look at Danny Ings. Bring him back into the...
I would love it if a really overweight Derby team got promoted. It would just be brilliant, wouldn't it?
You did used to have Craig Ramage as well, and I played with Craig, and he was another overweight player who could play midfield, who could also pass the ball, and I love Craig.
Well, we've got Chris Martin as well up top. He's quite a big lad. Jack Marriott. There's nothing wrong with the more heavy-set gentleman.
Oh, yeah, the more superbly upholstered footballer is still a
But
thing
that's
to
the
behold.
Beauty of football. There is a space for every sort of player.
I mean,
you know,
look,
there really is.
You'll just about be able to remember. Yeah, Mulby playing for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Standing in the centre circle, winning football matches.
I sat across him at a table at the King Power recently for Leicester Liverpool. He was brilliant, incredible.
He
looks very well, let me tell you.
Good man.
Yeah.
You were talking about Plymouth and Carlisle.
Oh, yes. This has got to be, I think, one of... There's a few, I think, I could look at performances of the week in, you know, the Championship, League One, League Two. I was at Brentford for... BMW, acronym. They've been absolutely sensational. They really have. Benrahma, Bueno, Watkins, absolutely superb.
Watkins is a fantastic player.
Yeah, brilliant.
I mean, they've started half through the season. Tired of being Brentford now. Let's be Liverpool for a while. They're starting to become Liverpool, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, the football they're playing down there is sensational. Look, it was the last West London derby as well. You can see the new stadium just going up over Griffin Park.
I miss Griffin Park.
I will miss Griffin Park, yeah.
I used to work there when I was on BBC London. In the summer, we decided we'd need to do some live sport on a Sunday afternoon. Go and watch the rugby league when it was on there. But the ground, famously, of course, the four pubs, one at each corner. But the ground itself is just redolent. For me, both of old football, but also football in London. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And of course, everything has changed. I understand we have to move on.
I think they want everyone to start spending the money, not in the pubs, but in their bars, you know, to earn back a few quid. But no, look, Brentford could certainly be up there with their performance against QPR. Sunderland, they're one against Wickham. But for me, it's got to be for the fans who travel from Plymouth, 567 of them, 400 miles, 6.5 hours in a car, up to Carlisle for their third away win in the road. They won 3-0, absolutely brilliant. Up to fifth, manager Ryan Lowe doing a great job.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Let me just let's try and work this out. Has anyone got a calculator on their phone just now? We have to go to.
Yep.
Right, so how many fans went?
567.
How many miles?
400 odd.
And 400 home, yes?
Yes.
So it's 800 times 5. How many miles has the Plymouth fans gone?
500,000 miles, very nearly. 453,000 miles.
That can't be right.
Yeah.
800 times...
800 times... Oh, I've done that wrong.
Yeah. 800 times 5... How many fans?
45,000. I don't know. No. 567.
Five six seven
times 800.
Can we edit this out?
No, this is the
times 800.
One. Yes.
567 times 800.
Yes. 453,000 miles. That just doesn't seem right to me. I don't think you can use that phone. No, that can't be right. Plymouth are the biggest city never to have a Premier League team. I always want to do well. I remember my dad worked up and down the trains a million years ago, one day when I was about 10, and I'd only ever seen Spurs and Arsenal, so red shirts and white shirts, and he smuggled me onto the train. I stowed away down to Plymouth and we went to see football the next day. And the idea that a team would play in green, I remember they ran out in these green, vivid green shirts, stuck with me ever since. I want Plymouth to do well. And yes, they just can't. They just never do well. But this is a good result for
them. It certainly is. And we mentioned my little team, under 19. One of the boys is from Plymouth and he turns up, he's got his Plymouth kit, would you believe, in the middle of Southwest London, and it's great.
And tell us about you were so modest, you wouldn't tell us about... Now, look, he's got no modesty at all, Mark. He's telling us how he's changed the life of Greta Thunberg.
Changed all our lives, Danny.
Yeah, and I know it's here on my phone, which is, unlike yours, is modern. Nearly 2.5 million retweets now for your joke about Greta. That is fantastic. 1.3 since I started mentioning it on the award-winning podcast. Your team, you manage a team of under-9s. Why should they be performance of the week?
Well, for a start, I did my pro license a few years ago with Craig Shakespeare. Obviously, Craig won the Premier League. I'm now managing an under-9 team. However, you know, we were 5-1 down and, you know, we looked dead
How
and buried.
How long into the game were you 5-1 down?
Half-time.
Sounds like poor management half-time. To start
with. Yeah, I think it was. But I sat him down, Phil Brown-like, and gave him the old finger, you know, little wagon, and give him a rocket. And didn't really, no, put my arm around him.
And
we brought it back 5-all. Just got the equaliser right at the death. So, yeah.
What did you say to them? David?
I said, goalkeeper, when you get it, just whack it down the other end.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
We didn't play out anymore.
Did the fifth goal when it went in, the equaliser at 5-5, did it give you as much pleasure as, say, scoring for the Republic of Ireland?
No, but it's a lovely moment. Yeah, it was a lovely moment. And actually, last time we played on this same pitch, I turned up with a pair of shoes, and it's a 3G pitch. And
right.
They said, you're not allowed on here with those shoes. You've got to wear boots. I was like, really? Yeah, so I couldn't actually be on the pitch as the team were playing. So today...
Touchline ban.
I had to go and dig out an old pair of boots and make sure I had boots on so I could actually be on the pitch.
I love the arrival of all these artificial types of pitches, and I've got a reason for saying it. I mean, obviously, I played football on a terrible artificial pitch when I was young. Grew up in Islington. There are only two football pitches in the whole borough of Islington. One of those is the pitch at Arsenal, which is always at the very highest. And then there's a place called Market Road, near the Caledonian Road. There is always was an artificial pitch, but it was one of those disgusting artificial pitches that if you fell on it, you cut yourself to ribbons. And after a while, the council neglected it, so there were large patches of just concrete underneath it. But now I love artificial pitches, and here's the reason why. When I was playing football, the best football boot on the planet, and it still is the best, was the Puma King. Just the most amazing looking thing, a work of art. Art Deco. I mean, I can see Fat Ronaldo running around and all the rest, but I couldn't afford a pair of Puma Kings then. They were expensive then, expensive now. But because of the multiplicity of artificial pitches, you can now buy Puma King Trainer for playing. And that's half the price of an actual football boot. And at Christmas, I treat myself to a pair and I wander around the what can I describe, the rural roads of Southern Ireland in Puma Kings. Yeah, and I feel like a Puma King as I'm doing it. And those are all facts. Thank you for that very much. Mark, I think you've got a very different take on the performance of the week.
Yes, I've gone for Reece James. And that is the new Chelsea right-back. He seems to have made that position his own. Now, he's only played 10 games for Chelsea's first team, but already he looks like a real prospect. Looks like someone who could challenge the England side already.
But England are stocked.
Well, this is the only problem,
pumped
Danny.
With right backs.
I can't remember a time where we've had in England one position so well stocked. I mean, look down the list. You've got, Reece James, fine. But then you've got Trent, who's been one of the best players. Just full stop in the league.
Maybe one of the best players in the league, yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe not great defensively, but he's not tested that often, to be honest, for Liverpool. But going forward, unbelievable.
Well, fullback's not a defensive position anymore, is it, either?
Well, not really. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, though, is good defensively, not so good going forwards.
What a player. When we splice those two, kind of graph, like trees, then what a player we'll have then.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about it? Is that your next venture?
Well, no, I used to think about cloning. There was a time when Michael, it's hard to remember now because his reputation in tatters because of his time at Newcastle. There was a time when Michael Owen, when he first got into the Liverpool team, looked like the best player in the world. And I remember writing a piece for a magazine saying, right, we've got all this cloning technology, Dolly the Sheep, all of that. Let's not mess about. Forget about the ethics. We're talking about football here.
Yep.
Clone Michael Owen. We have a big goalkeeper and 11 Michael Owens. We'll win the World Cup. No one took me up. Never even heard from the FA.
No.
Unbelievable.
So someone's working on it somewhere.
No,
guaranteed.
Not.
Yeah, no, they are.
They've got ethical considerations.
Well, Qatar might do it. So at right back, we've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, we've got Aaron Wan-Bissaka, we've got Reece James, we've got Kieran Trippier still, who, by the way, is still doing very well over in Spain, Kyle Walker, and then Max Ahrens at Newcastle. Norwich.
Are we really in a world where Kyle Walker is the sixth best right back in
England? This is what I mean. It was so well stocked. But on Saturday,
Trippier has made a comeback, don't forget. I mean, I never understood why Spurs sold him, but he was pretty poor in a pretty poor team last year. Champions League finals notwithstanding. Yeah. Spurs were getting worse and worse as the year went on, and Kieran was dragged down by them.
He was, yeah. But Reece James on Saturday just seemed to display so much, so composed on the ball. He played centre midfield when he was on loan last season in the Championship and looked very, very composed there. He knows how to play football. I mean, that sounds obvious, but he's a right back. He can play football at a top level, defensively very sound, got an assist, got a clean sheet. It's got to be my performance of the week.
It's a real nightmare when you're a nation who, you know, any football nation, to suddenly if you get the overlap in all in one position, isn't it?
Ireland, we had it. Do you remember how many fullbacks we used to have? Obviously, Dennis Irwin, Steve Finnan, Stephen Carr, Gary Kelly. I mean, the list was endless. And we got it now.
Our Irish producer's joining. Come over to the microphone and join in. We want to hear from you. What else is happening?
I'm saying we've got the exact same problem as England. Only we have two good players, and they both play right back.
Uh-huh.
Seamus Coleman and Matt Doherty.
Slovenia, Slovakia had the same problem. Aren't Jan Oblak and Hamdanovic?
Yeah, right.
Both been the same. They both play with the two best players in the country's history are both goalkeepers at the same time.
Scotland as well.
Robertson and Tierney.
I guess, yeah, Robertson and Tierney.
Yeah, but so England's right back glut is
so they're not alone, basically, we're saying. They're not alone.
No.
So performance of the week. Swindon without Owen Doyle. Plymouth, who travelled apparently to the sun and back in order to get, according to him, to get their result. Or Reece James as a representative of a phalanx of genius English right backs. David, where do you want to start?
Well, I think for Swindon Town to lose Owen Doyle and still manage to obviously win 3-1, brilliant result for them. I think for me, Swindon just edge it.
And the England right back thing, Reece James is going to be a fantastic player, bless him. And so is Max Ahrens, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Even in a very, very disturbed looking Norwich team now, who've only got plan A and it's not working for them. I think we should give it to Swindon, don't you?
No. No. Actually, I'm going for the Carlisle, the Plymouth fans. Sorry.
All right. Well,
because I think that the 500,000 miles that we think they racked is unbelievable and shows the football is pure and perfect still.
And despite your obvious fame now that you've done the most famous tweet, except for one or two by the American president, up to 3.7 million now. I notice on my Twitter feed there. I'm going to go with you. I think it's right because the Plymouth fans travelled to the distance to the Alpha Centauri and back. They are our performance of the week.
He's a very good footballer. I spoke about Wednesday night that we weren't good enough with the ball against a very good Leicester team. He will certainly get on the ball and improve us on the ball as well.
Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 6 in front of 41,823. 3 goals in 11 minutes, Mahrez with 2 and an absolute belter from Aguero. That was his 11th.
Today I saw a team that was really motivated to do well. They knew how big the game was for the football club, for everyone connected with the team, but it just didn't happen.
Okay, let's do our worst performance of the week. And I'll lead this one if I may. And I feel ashamed here because it's not fair to pick on people whose lives have taken a turn for the worst. But let's be fair. We're not talking about somebody who's ill, thank God, or somebody who's lost their job, thank God. We're talking about football fortunes going a bit awry. Danny Drinkwater, my namesake Danny Drinkwater. There was a moment in the game between Manchester City and Aston Villa where Riyad Mahrez did that Riyad Mahrez thing with his hips. Attention, defenders at West Ham United, you are allowed to move your hips in football. And he left Danny sort of staring at him in disbelief. And my mind was cast back, of course it was, to 3.5 years ago when these two were central, integral and clearly enjoying Leicester City's astonishing, I would say super, I still think it was supernatural, run to the title. And what a fork their life has taken since then. Mahrez, having cried a bit like a baby and a weed to get transferred out of Leicester, got to Manchester City, and he gets picked for these sorts of games now where they're not expected to win, and he's done very, very well. Danny has gone to a place where footballers must dread. He's still earning a ton of money. He's in demand, one team don't want him, so he goes to Burnley, they don't want him. There's still people will take him up, Aston Villa have taken him on. But his football career has been static, wasted, David, for the last 3 years. Is that the word?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, if you look at his last starts, there's a synergy about them. So his last one for Burnley was when they were beaten 4-1 by City. His last one for Chelsea, when they lost 2-0 to City in the Community Shield.
Stop playing against Manchester City is the lesson here, isn't it?
His last start for Chelsea, when they lost at the Etihad in March last year. So I guess that was a red flag, which maybe Dean Smith didn't really see coming.
No.
Maybe if I was Danny, I might have just waited another week before signing.
To say you're a bit stiff that
yeah,
morning.
Yeah.
Those results that he keeps... So Danny Drinkwater is therefore, I think, inadvertently responsible for one of the most remarkable things that currently is going on in English football. Liverpool are dominant. They haven't lost a game. They've only dropped 2 points. They do not have the best goal difference. As of this afternoon, or this weekend that we're talking, Manchester City's goal difference, Liverpool's still got a game in hand. That's against the mighty West Ham, by the way. Liverpool's goal difference is inferior to that of Manchester City. So not only are they managing the games, they're managing the whole season now.
They are, yeah.
They're keeping us all at arm's length. They don't need to score a load of goals. They just get what they get and win the matches.
It's
they're incredible.
Perfect economy. It makes sense that they are metronomic. They're winning games week in, week out, but only by, the odd goal. And you're better off scoring 6 in 6 weeks and not conceding than you are scoring 6 in a day.
Thanks, Sam Allardyce. That was really good talk. Thanks very much for that talk.
In a nutshell, City are bullies. That's what you're saying, aren't they? They're
flat
bullies.
Track bullies. They teams that are no good, they take to pieces.
Absolutely,
yeah. Absolutely. And I'm a bit worried about Aston Villa now because they're... quite apart from the nonsense of Jack Grealish playing up front, they are now looking like one of those teams that will go down. You want to talk about another one of those for your worst performance of the week?
Yes.
He said, looking through his notes.
Back to...
Cut all David's stuff out, will you?
Yes, yeah, do that. Sorry, edit me down. Bournemouth, unfortunately. I can't not mention them. I covered the game today for... I covered the game... for international against Watford, and I've got to say they were woeful. There's no other word for it.
Tough to watch them, wasn't it?
It really was. What was billed as a must-win, Eddie Howe talking about the crowd. He needed the crowd. He needed big performances. I'm sure there was a couple of players there who were wrapped up and said, "Right, go on. I know you're not necessarily fit, Nathan Ake, etc., but get out there, do a job." It was a patched up back four.
That was a new goalkeeper. That was a horrible thing to do to Nathan. Nathan Ake was played out of position, half fit. I think he's a real fine footballer.
But maybe that was, I don't know whether they felt he had to put Simon Francis centre half to deal with Dinia. I don't quite know the reason why, but it didn't work. They were really, really poor, Bournemouth. And Eddie Howe, for once, looked in real pain on the sideline. And I really like Eddie. Whenever I see him out at Championship games, he's trawling everywhere. Like all managers, one of the hardest workers. They work ever so hard. But it's just not going for them at this minute in time. And I think they've conceded, one win in 11, conceded 300 goals since they've been in the Premier League, more than anyone else. And it doesn't look like stopping, which is a concern for them.
Do you think they've got too many British players in that team?
Well, one thing I would say is maybe it hasn't evolved that much. Maybe it hasn't evolved. Now, Eddie's going to stay there, but maybe he hasn't sort of got enough players in just to evolve that squad. You look at what Fergie would do every, you know, 4 or 5 years. And
Liverpool before that.
Liverpool exactly before that. Thing. Yeah, so maybe he hasn't quite got that right at this moment.
And the problem for all teams struggling at the bottom this year is they can come up with their stories about injuries or key players, things going wrong, all the rest of it. But Sheffield United are casting such a shadow over all the other so-called unfashionable teams and the rest of them, actually, in the Premier League. What Sheffield United are doing, it just makes the rest of them look like, come on, get some idea, get some fight.
And the worry for Howe, I think, would be if some of those players, they're not necessarily performing well now, but even if he lost them, your Callum Wilson's of this world, your Nathan Ake's, your Ryan Fraser's, what would he be left with then? That would be, if I was a Bournemouth fan, I'd be concerned. And also, if Eddie Howe's now talking as he is, that, you know, maybe he's going to have a look at himself, and I think that's a worry. I think you shouldn't be saying that. No. I think he's just got to plough on.
Or by all means, do look at yourself in the privacy of among your confederates and assistants and stuff like that.
Yeah, don't make it public, unless it's a ruse. Maybe he's trying to get the board to spend some money and say, look, if you don't back me now and really give us a chance, I might have to reevaluate.
I can't speak for footballers, but I will. you saw with Pochettino, as soon as he said that if we win this Champions League, I might go.
Ridiculous.
As soon as you tell the players you're not 100% on the firm, that's their excuse to come off the gas as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
No, I know, but footballers are weak, aren't they? They're weak, they're mentally weak, but by and large compared to other sports.
Yeah, but Poch knows that,
David, I keep hearing you've got to be so mentally strong to have a career in football. Why then is confidence such a big issue for footballers? You're trained to do what you do, you should be confident all the time, because nobody can shoot you. All you've got to do is play.
Especially in a team sport as well.
I mean, for Eddie, what he's got to do, I guess, is look at, say, we spoke about him earlier, Hasan Hüttl, I like saying his name.
Yeah.
You know, after getting beat 9-0, he didn't chuck in the towel. I'm not saying Eddie is in the towel, but... And look at Watford with Nigel Pearson, you know, the upturn they've had. So, fingers crossed they don't pull the trigger on him.
You've got to work out which end of the rope you want to pull here, David, because you've got Hasan Hüttl, the board decided to keep him, and it's done well, and you've got Watford's board... I think he's the third manager this month, isn't he? But he's done very, very well now. It's a hugely difficult decision to make, getting rid of these men. I'd be a hopeless club chairman because I'd sack them all. The second they come through the door, I wouldn't fancy them. Are those shoes orange? No, sir, you're off. Leave the keys to the car for the next fella. Come on. But it is a real tricky one, isn't it?
Sorry, were you upset that the shoes weren't orange?
No, he was wearing orange shoes. I mean, it was a
producer Jeremy. He is wearing orange shoes.
I actually told him, and so were. So was Mark Webster last week. I'm told by Mrs. Kelly they're very, very fashionable. It was actually a little... that was a kind of tribute to my long-departed Auntie Betty, who used to send men spinning when they turned up for dates in brown shoes. She wasn't having that. No way. Your men's body in you this week...
What?
Your worst performance of the week involves something very close to men's bodies.
It does, yeah. My worst performance... are the sales figures for Jesse Lingard's perfume. What's it called? Not perfume.
Aftershave. Yeah.
Jesse Lingard's aftershave. It's called J-Lings. Of course it is.
It's called what?
J-Lings.
Right.
Which is this sort of...
have you
this brand.
It?
I have not. No one has. That's the problem. No one's had a chance.
Tell me about the sales figures.
I can't tell you the exact sales figures, but what I can say is this.
Use your phone. That seems very accurate.
I think half a million units shifted a week. It's gone from £45 to £15.
That suggests not much shiftage.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It's a bit like Lingard's transfer value, probably, then.
A little bit, yeah. £15 is pretty rich, I think. But I think they're probably trying to shift it before it goes off on the shelves. So, not good for him. It's not been a great year for him. 2019, no goals, no assists. We know about that. But I suppose it's just indicative of a player who's putting his brand quite out there and showing you what he, you know, what he is about, his
It's one of the most 21st century things I've ever heard. Your sentence, "I want to get my worst performance of the week," is Jesse Lingard's aftershave.
Absolutely. And actually, Corby Town took the mick a little bit. We saw Jordan Crawford score a hat-trick for them this weekend, and he did a Jay Ling celebration with his fingers. And Corby Town said, "Hey, Jesse Lingard, when was the last time you saw that celebration?" So everyone's dunking on him at the minute. By the way, this is all in the same week. This is all in the same week that Gwyneth Paltrow...
Hold on.
We're going to have to. Paltrow, the same week Jesse Lingard is struggling with his sales figures, Gwyneth Paltrow is selling a candle...
Yes.
That smells like her...
Vagina. Yeah.
And it costs £57. And it's sold out.
I can't see, having said all that, and bad though Bournemouth were, and poor Danny Drinkwater, I think if we don't make that the worst performance of the week, people will think we're just doing it for effect. Come on, David.
I agree. I'm just looking at... I'm trying to find some more footballers' aftershaves. There was Callum Best Original. But he wasn't really a footballer, was he? So that doesn't count.
No.
Also,
David
original.
Beckham Respect. Can't recall that one either. It didn't fly off the shelves.
Yeah, I remember the armband.
The Aretha Franklin was better. Also, hang on, Callum Best was called Original.
I mean, specifically
not the Original Best.
Yeah, no, that's right. But any more?
Ronaldo had one, Legacy.
No.
£40 from Boots.
No.
That's quite a nice name, expensive, actually. I quite like that name.
I mean, obviously, Kevin Keegan started all this with Brute. And Brute was it's still around, isn't it? But at the time, even then, in the 70s, we all knew this was just a terrible thing. You might as well put Domestos on your face. but the advertising campaign was himself and Henry Cooper. Did latterly James Hunt get involved? I think he probably did. And all they could say, if you couldn't say it smells like Gwyneth Paltrow, they couldn't say it smells like a lovely garden. They said, "Splash it on all over." That was the sales line for Brute. Splash it on all over.
It's simple, isn't it? Straight to the point. I like that. I like
Make
that.
America great again. Yeah, splash it on all over. I think we're all in agreement that in view of the circumstances and the language involved, that Jesse Lingard's aftershave is the worst performer of the week. And with that, and news of all genital-flavoured products, we leave you here on the Game Day Record Book podcast. I've been Danny Kelly. Of course, I have. Alongside me, delighted again to work with David Connolly. Thank you very much, David. And Mark Smith, comedian and broadcaster, has also shone the light of his wit and intelligence into the murk of our otherwise dark proceedings. And I just noticed over 7.5 million people have now retweeted his tweet about Greta Thunberg. Congratulations, Mark. Thanks for listening.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.